come on in.
And now, back to the Bill Frank Radio Show.
The kids love him.
And your host.
Welcome to paradise.
Bill Frank.
Welcome back. I'm your host, Bill Frank. Every show has a theme, and today's theme is the future. It's here. It's just unevenly distributed. Each of my guests is giving his view of the future as he sees it today. My next guest is the co-founder and chief executive officer of Car Charging Group Incorporated, a company dedicated to a clean, sustainable environment and an economically strong, energy-independent America. We'll be talking about electric cars and the new electric car charging systems that he is going to make us aware of. My guest, Michael Farkas, is the CEO and co-founder of the Car Charging Group Incorporated, a company that installs and manages electric vehicle charging stations. The company has installed stations here in California, Florida, Maryland, New York, and Virginia. Michael currently makes his home in Miami Beach, Florida, joining us from there. Hi, Michael. How are you today?
Doing well. I just want to add that it's not that we install charging stations. We own and operate those charging stations in addition to installing them.
Own, operate, and install. Well, thank you for that correction. I want to get into that in much more detail in just a minute. But let's take a step back, if we can, for just a moment, because you've chosen this particular niche with electric cars, and you're facing a lot of headwinds, which we'll get into in just a minute. But I want to ask your overall view. Is the electric car market viable in the United States in the next 5 years?
Yes, and without a question.
How so?
If you actually look at sales of EVs, they've been picking up quite heavily. If you look at the first couple years of sales of hybrids in relation to plug-in vehicles, the uptake of plug-ins have been much quicker than hybrids themselves.
All right, but the two headwinds that I'm referring to specifically, Michael, are these. I mean, the reason that people might go to an electric or a hybrid car is because of oil and the high price of gasoline. But oil production in the United States is up because of the shale oil reserves. The United States is now the number three oil producer in the world. And North America, which is United States, Canada, and Mexico, is a larger producer of oil than OPEC. So that's one. And then number two, car sales in general have been down since the recession of 2008. In fact, all categories of vehicles are slowing down. Those are some pretty significant headwinds. What's going to turn things around in the electric car industry to make it more viable, make it more attractive to new car buyers?
Well, I do agree with you that while car sales in the United States have gone down, we're actually seeing very robust sales this year in internal combustion engine cars. But the bottom line is you're still seeing an increase year over year in hybrids and in plug-ins. And we believe that, why buy a hybrid when you're going to be able to have either a plug-in hybrid or a full electric car? It's the same market, and plug-ins are just way more efficient than either hybrids or internal combustion engine cars. And I just have to tell you, your numbers on the sale of EVs are just wrong. EV sales have been increasing dramatically month over month, and especially month to month, year over year. You know, when you look at January of 2012, you had about 800 full electrics. In January of 2013, you have 2,000 electric cars. In February, 639, and then in February of this year is 2,616 cars. And I could go all the way in May, we had 612 in 2012, and we've had 4,500 in 2013. You're talking about 600% growth month over month, same period, year over year. So the facts are not as you're stating. EV sales are picking up. They're picking up pretty quickly. And again, remember, you only had a Leaf and a Volt really that were available. You had a Tesla that came online. And all the other cars, all the other EVs that have been available are really what's called compliance cars, which means they conform to California's regulations, but they're not really sold outside of California. But now people who want these cars outside of California, like the Fit, the Honda Fit is now going to be available in other markets. People started to buy these cars even though they were supposed to be just for California. And the more important fact that people don't understand, there was an article yesterday that said that there's not enough EVs in the marketplace, that there's more buyers for EVs than there are actually EVs on the dealer's lots. We're starting to see people believing that, you know, EVs work. They're not going to blow up in your house. They're not golf carts. And they could be used in the real world. And look at Nissan, for instance. In the Pacific Northwest today, the number one selling Nissan is the Nissan Leaf. That's a fact. This is not news of months and years ago. This is facts of today.
Well, that's very interesting. My guest is Michael Farkas. Michael, talk to me about the changing demographics and who the customer is going to be for these cars.
Everybody.
Well, but 18 to 24-year-olds are shying away from buying cars. In fact, there are more potential buyers of cars in the 54 to 64-year-old age group than there is in the 18 to 24-year-old age group.
I agree with you. And a lot of the cars that being used by the younger population car sharing programs, and a lot of the car sharing programs are incorporating EVs into their fleets. But I have to tell you, you're seeing all walks of life from all different age groups have an interest in the EV. You know, the younger generation, they're really, really, you know, socially and environmentally aware of what's going on. And the bottom line is, you know, they like EVs. They like the ability of, you know, not having to be dependent on a fuel source. And in regards to your statement about America being a large producer of electricity, that is correct. We are definitely increasing our production capabilities. And shale oil is definitely, you know, a great thing out there. But remember, there's a lot of legislation that's going to make us a massive net exporter of energy. And the bottom line is that legislation, you know, look at the pipeline issues that we've had. Look at the fracking issues that are out there right now. If more legislation is created to stop those things, this whole USA energy independence thing is going to go nowhere. I'm not saying it's not going to happen. I hope to God it does. But the bottom line is we're better off investing in renewables to power our electricity, you know, our EVs than anything else. You could throw up a solar panel. You could have wind farms. Having an EV allows you not to be dependent on any single fuel source. And it's not just about oil. Look at the environment. Look at the fact that it costs much, much, much less to operate an EV per mile than it does an internal combustion engine car. If you were to go ahead and have a charging station in your home and you pay the average rates of electricity in your home, it will cost you roughly 15 cents on the dollar to travel that same distance in an EV versus an internal combustion engine car. These are facts. So it's not only using electricity, which is a cleaner fuel source versus gas, it's also the fact that it costs less. And more importantly, all electricity is produced domestically. So instead of us sending our money out to foreign countries, you know, and tyrannical leaders, we keep that money home locally because energy is produced locally. So there's so many more benefits to driving an EV than an internal combustion engine car. And I could sit here for hours and hours and tell you why.
Well, those are very compelling reasons, and we all agree that they're true. And I completely agree with your analysis so far, Michael. But let's talk about some of the challenges that face electric cars as well, because I think we want to present a balanced picture here. First is range, battery life, and charging time. Those sort of things go hand in hand. High cost to purchase these cars. You know, the government subsidy of $7,500 has ended, so now it's $7,500.
You are bringing up some amazing points, and I really need to address them. The bottom line is range. Range is an issue, but as Tesla has proven, now having a car that goes almost 300 miles on a single charge, technologically, we can have cars that are EVs that travel as far as internal combustion engine cars. Second thing you mentioned was range, charging. Mm-hmm. We are now having superchargers that are coming out there where we're bringing down charging times to 20, 25 minutes, 30 minutes for you to travel an extremely long, far distance. So we're overcoming those obstacles, and as we have more and more superchargers out there, you know, it'll be less of an issue. But really, if you want to be honest with ourselves, the average American drives less than 39 miles a day. We don't need cars that go 300 miles on a single charge. It's really just range anxiety, and it's just a misconception, and it's our own not understanding how much we actually drive. When you have an EV and you actually you monitor your usage, you realize that you don't need as much of a distance as you think you do. But by putting fast chargers along highway systems, you're going to be able to drive from New York to L.A. in a full EV. And Elon Musk will be doing that this summer in his Tesla Model S, driving from L.A. to New York in a full EV and only needing about 25 minutes or so to charge his car on those stop-offs. Now, remember something. You need to sleep, which you're going to do anyway, so you could charge your car on one of those legs. You need to go to the bathroom. You need to get a drink, get refreshments. So anywhere along those stops, if you're stopping off at any of these highway places, to fill up gas and to go get yourself a drink and to relieve yourself is still taking you 20, 25 minutes. So it's no different than really plugging in your car and going to the service center and then going along your way. A lot of those issues have been resolved. Now let's talk about pricing.
Okay.
There is a complete misconception amongst people of the pricing between EVs and internal combustion engine cars. And I know I'm talking about the stratosphere right now, but let's look at the Tesla Model S. Because really, this is about technology. And we all know that initial technology costs more before it becomes commercialized and commoditized. Like, let's look at the flat-screen TV. I bought a flat-screen TV. It cost me almost $10,000 my first one. But today, you could buy that same TV for $700, $800. Bottom line, when we look at the Tesla Model S, the Performance Edition, okay, what can we compare it to today? Number one is a Mercedes E-Class AMG, or a BMW 5 Series, or an Audi A6, you know, whatever, the RS Edition. When you look at those cars and compare it to the Tesla Model S, they actually cost more than the Model S, and the Model S outperforms them, it's faster than them, it drives better than them, it has a whole load of more technology in them. And there's more space inside because of the way the car is set up. So when you're looking at trying to measure apples to apples, the bottom line is, even deduct the $7,500 tax credit. A Mercedes E-Class AMG or a BMW, you know, M version of the 5 Series, they cost more than its electric counterpart today. This is a fact. You could go into your BMW dealership, look at this. You go into your Tesla dealership and confirm these numbers, and you look at the Mercedes E-Class AMG numbers. These are facts. So what's happening is like with all technologies, there's trickle-down effect. As Elon Musk mentioned earlier this month, in a couple of years from now, he's going to have a $30,000 car that outperforms its peers and goes almost 300 miles on a single charge. So we're seeing the technology getting cheaper, just like Chevy Volt. The chairman of Chevy of GM mentioned how the next car, the next Volt that's coming out, is going to cost $10,000 cheaper to produce. The reason why is these electric cars are more like computers with wheels than they are like internal combustion engine cars. And the bottom line is we're going to have like a Morse type of law for batteries and for EVs, and the price of these cars is going to come down. And in reality, when all of these components are mass-produced, which they're not today, you will see in 5 and 10 years from now, EVs being much cheaper to produce and purchase than internal combustion engine cars. There was a study that was done by R.L. Polk, I think it came out about 2 weeks ago, and they said within about the next 25 years or so, 80% of all cars will be plug-in, 50% full battery, 30% plug-in hybrids, and 20% internal combustion engine cars. It's not a matter of if anymore. It's really about when.
All right. My guest is Michael Farkas. He's the CEO and co-founder of Car Charging Group Incorporated. Michael, there was so much in that last answer. I want to circle back around, though, and talk about two things in particular. You said as battery technology advances, this is going to drive the cost down. It makes sense. Except here's the rub. Most battery manufacturing is being done in one of two countries, China or Japan. The United States no longer is a leader in battery technology, and it's going to take us a lot of investment in order to get back to leadership position in that area. So if we move to all electric cars, as you're suggesting, aren't we just trading one set of foreign buyers, the OPEC countries, for another set of foreign overlords, the Japanese and the Chinese? We haven't really gained any independence per se, because we'll still be relying on the Chinese and the Japanese for our car batteries.
I have no issue with dealing and being relying. I have to rely upon the Chinese and the Japanese. I prefer them than countries like Venezuela and Saudi Arabia, Iran and Iraq, and places like that.
Well, but that begs the bigger issue. You're just saying you're picking the lesser of evils. It's still we're
if,
not.
If we have no choice, it's the better of two evils. I have to tell you, I believe that if America chose to develop their battery technologies, they would. And obviously, we've had some big failures here, Ballard and A123 and so on and so forth. You know, we'll get there. The bottom line is it's better to participate in the EV industry in some capacity than not to participate at all. But China has made it a national mission to be a leader in the EV industry. And the fact of the matter is they are the largest car market in the world today. And you know what I'm saying? They're going to need to do what they're going to need to do, and we're going to need to do what we're going to need to do. And if they have to choose the lesser of two evils, I will. If we had the ability to grow these batteries ourselves, that would be great. But you know, we also have to be realistic with what's going on in the real world.
All right. Now, I understand what you're saying. I'm not necessarily agreeing with that because we are trading one set of overlords for another, and I'm not sure how benevolent the Chinese or the Japanese will be in years to come. It's hard to predict that sort of thing. My guest is Michael Farkas. But, Michael, let's come back to something else you mentioned in your earlier answer, which is range anxiety, which many car buyers or potential car buyers have. You're absolutely right. Many people don't drive more than 30, 40 miles a day. They just don't realize it. But here's where the anxiety kicks in, more so than the range itself. The automobile industry with the internal combustion engines had about 100 years to develop the infrastructure. So you can't drive down a street here in California without seeing four gas stations on all four competing corners. You know, if you're running low on gas, that you can pull into any one of those four gas stations and you can buy a gallon or however many gallons of gasoline that you need. Electricity is a little bit trickier. We don't know where all of the EV stations are going to be. We don't know where all the recharging is yet. So talk to us about what your company is doing in order to address the issue of making more of these chargers available to more people in more places.
First of all, I think everyone needs to understand that the way we view electric vehicles is that you're not going to have to go somewhere to plug in, somewhere specific. You're going to go where you typically go, and you're going to plug in. When you go to your house, you'll plug in. You go to your office, you'll plug in. you go to an event, you plug in. Wherever you move your car, there'll be a plug available for you to plug in. That's where we see this market in 5 to 10 years from now. That's why we have relationships with the Simon Properties of the world and the Walgreens of the world and the CVSs of the world and all the major national parking garages, as well as, you know, local regional parking garage operators like Central Parking and USA Parking and Laz and Ace. Because we believe that it's going to be a fluid transaction. You're not going to go somewhere to go fill up your car like a gas station. When you go to park your car, you'll plug in. And that's where we believe things will happen. We install hardware based upon need. So if we know cars are selling in certain areas, we'll put charging stations in those areas. If we get calls from our property owner partners, like I mentioned, Simon or Walgreens, that they have a tenant or they have a user that needs these charging stations, we'll go in there and install them. When we see usage at our current charging stations being utilized to capacity, we'll add additional chargers. But we want to be everywhere. We have a relationship with auto dealers and manufacturers. We have relationships with all the different property owners. So we plan on being where you park your car.
My guest is the CEO and co-founder of the Car Charging Group Incorporated, Michael Farkas. So, Michael, pretend I'm a potential investor or customer. How would you sell me on your idea, your business model, your idea? Because if I look at the car electric car sales between the years of, say, 1990 and 2011, for which I have data, there were 2,100,000 electric or hybrid cars sold during that period. Now, that sounds like a lot of cars. But in relationship to all of the cars sold in the United States, that was only 1.18%. So as a potential investor, sell me on the idea of serving 1.18% of the car market.
Okay. I'm looking at numbers here right in front of me. And in 2007, out of 11 million, you had 352,000 were hybrids. In 2008, out of 13 million, you had 313,000 in hybrids. In 2009, which was a horrible year for the auto industry in general, you had 10 million about in sales and 2.9%. So you're talking a little bit more than 3% are hybrid sales over the last couple of years. Remember, EVs have only been available for sale over the last 2 years. So if we're talking about the hybrid market itself having about 3 and change or a little bit shy of 3%, you know, it's not a bad number when you're selling 10 to 15 million units per year. According to our model, we can make money on not that many cars being out there. And obviously, the more EVs that are out there, the more money we'll make. But, you know, you got to look at across the board and look at the actual sales. As I mentioned, you know, in this, let's just use the last month, May. And I'm not talking about full hybrids, okay? Because full hybrids in May of 2013, there was 48,000 of them that were sold. You know, and you're talking about, let's look at all plug-ins in total. You had 32,000 sold as of this year. Out of 6.3 million cars sold in total. This year alone, the electric drive market in total was 3.8% of sales. So I don't know where you're getting your data from, but I'm getting it from the Electric Drive Transportation Association, and you can find it on electricdrive.org, and you can see all the data here. But the bottom line is, let's just take battery-operated cars, full EVs. The month of May in 2012, 602 units sold, which, again, the numbers are very small. But in the month of May of this year, you had 4,500 units sold. It's over 600% in growth. That's from last May to this May. If we continue at these rates, and we expect them to, because there's going to be a lot more product available. Are you familiar with the CAF laws, you know, that the government's imposing on all the auto manufacturers, where the average mile per gallon is going to be 55, 56 miles per gallon over the next couple of years?
Yes.
Understand that the auto manufacturers have no choice whatsoever to produce EVs, even if they're selling them at a loss, to make up for the gas guzzling and the emissions of the rest of their fleet. Ford, Audi, BMW, Mercedes, Chevy, Hyundai, Kia, every major manufacturer is coming out with EVs, whether they like it or not, because they need to sell them. And as they produce more, the prices come down because these subsystems become commoditized, commercialized. And what's going to happen is, as the need to produce these things, because they have to comply, what it does is it'll also bring additional product that people are actually going to want to buy. I have to tell you something, although I like Nissan and I love the company and I do business with them, I have to tell you, the Leaf is not the most aesthetically pleasing vehicle. You look at the Chevy Volt. You know, you have a mid-sized American car with four seats. Most of the mid-sized American, all of them are five-seaters. You need that extra space in there. It definitely affected sales. We're going to see the new Volt. We believe it's going to have five seats, so it's going to deal with that shortcoming. The bottom line is you're going to see a Cadillac that's coming out that's a plug-in now. You're seeing all different Porsches, all different Audis, again, from the high-end all the way down to the Kias and the Hyundais and the Chevys and so on. So when there's a lot of product out there for people to go ahead and choose, I have to tell you, I drive an electric car. And after driving an electric car on my own, I don't have to go to a gas station anymore. It's exciting. And I'll tell you something, you know, the female population of America, one of their biggest issues is they don't like going to gas stations. Most of their husbands have to fill up the cars for them. And they're involved in the decision-making process of what cars are purchased. And if they could buy a car and never have to go to a gas station, let me tell you something, that's going to be a strong decision made over there. And we know in any home, the wife does have a huge say in what cars are bought.
Well, that's true. But Michael, it begs the question, how is Car Charging Group going to make its money?
We own and operate charging stations that are in the public domain in all the parking garages throughout the United States. We make money by people filling up their car, no difference than in a Mobil or an Exxon or a BP. We become the filling station, the fueling station for your automobile. And it's done in a way where you don't have to drive or go somewhere to do it. It's being done wherever you park your car.
And if you've got this bright idea, Michael, and Exxon comes to you tomorrow, or maybe it's Chevron, and they say, we want to write you a check for your business because we see this as the wave of the future, what's your answer to them?
It has to be a very large number.
All right, so it's just a question of where the decimal point is. It isn't a question of selling out to an oil company. It's just a question of where
the
decimal is.
Bottom line is, if there is someone who could take this company and expand it where we could change the way people fuel their cars, it's not just about being a decimal point. It's not just about money, because obviously, you know, the people who are here would stay involved. It's about being able to launch the service. And obviously, if someone's going to buy us for that amount of money, you know, part of the deal would be that they have to put money into infrastructure and build out our relationships. We have relationships with 85 different property owner partners, from Equity Residential, as I mentioned, to Walgreens, to Simon Properties. It is our mission to build out that network. Now, whether we're doing it or whether it's done in partnership with somebody else, it doesn't make a difference. But if we fulfill what we believe we can do, we could change the way, you know, people drive their cars. You know, powering the car through electricity is just so much more socially responsible, environmentally responsible than doing it with using electricity. And whether, again, it's not just about money. You know, I have three kids. I got into this business. It wasn't about making money. It was about making a change, changing the way things are. And we believe that we can make a major impact not having to take oil out of the ground and instead seeing a future where we could use full renewables, full solar, full wind, wave technologies, different technologies that are renewable to fuel our cars. And that's where we want to see things happen.
My guest is Michael Farkas, the CEO and co-founder of the Car Charging Group. So, Michael, again, back to the bigger picture, if we can. Last question. What's holding this market back? Why hasn't it caught on more, especially outside of the state of California?
Very simple. It's about product. The car is very impulse purchase. People go to a dealership, they look at the cars that are available, and then they want to buy a car. There's not enough product on the road. There's not enough sexy product on the road. And when that when those cars come out and there's enough of them and people get over their anxieties of EVs, I think naturally the market will take off itself. If you look at and you do a study on people who have purchased EVs and who now drive them, almost all of them say they'll never go back to an internal combustion engine car. So all we got to do is keep on bringing more and more people into the fold who sample these cars, test them, drive them, and I believe there'll be a lot more converts coming over and driving EVs. And again, once you drive an EV, I have to tell you, I drive an EV, so I can tell you this firsthand, I'll never go back to an internal combustion engine car. And the more people know about it, the more people hear about it, and a good way to find out about things is going to our website, www.carcharging.com, and see what we're doing and see what's going on with the business. And again, I strongly recommend for everyone to just go out there and test drive these EVs. Go to your Nissan dealership. Go to your Chevy dealership. Go to your Tesla dealerships. Once you drive these cars and understand their capabilities, I would have to say that your next car will be an EV.
All right. The website, again, is carcharging.com. My guest has been Michael Farkas, the CEO of Car Charging Group, Incorporated. Michael, it has been a delight. Thank you so much for being my special guest. We'll talk to you down the road.
Thank you for having me.